There's a verse in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, that says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." And I don't know if you thought about it in Hebrews, where we read about God's covenant to his people, but that we, as his people, have been the covenant breakers. God did not break his covenant with his people. But God is in the business of covenant keeping. And it is so wonderful to think about his covenant. He will never, never break his covenant with his people. It's a blessed thought this morning, especially as we think about a new year that lies ahead of us. God's love endures. His holiness is unchanging. His mercy is unfailing. We could read many verses about his mercy in the Psalms, how it's unfailing. It's from everlasting to everlasting. His faithfulness abounds year after year after year. He faithfully keeps his covenant. So here we have God, a perfect being, keeping covenant with an imperfect group of people. Seems exotic, doesn't it? Too often we fail in keeping our end of the covenant, but God never, never fails on his end. And in 1 Chronicles 16, 15, it says, "Be ye mindful always of his covenant." In other words, don't forget his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. It's important to keep in mind what God promises to the faithful. Here he promised that the children of Israel would enter the promised land of Canaan. But there were requirements that they needed to, there were things they needed to do if they were going to make it there. And there are requirements for us as well in this covenant. We have things we need to do. Have we been faithful in our commitments? Have we been true to our commitments in 2017? Have we kept our part of the covenant? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. In verse 12, as we think about the new year that lies ahead of us, what does God want from my life and your life? Taking the title from this verse, "What doth the Lord require of thee?" We're going to read more about the children of Israel here and look at some things God required of them, and I believe God requires of us today in 2018. Let's begin reading at Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, and we'll read down through chapter 11 in verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, 12. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked, for the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, and a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments alway. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles, and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until ye came into this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their households and their tents and all their substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. We'll cease reading there. Point number one, what doth the Lord require of thee? Recognize him as the one and only true God. Verse 17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward." What makes God great? Well, we see he has a name which is above every name. You know, there are many gods in this world. But there's one who is God of gods. There are many things that are, could I say, lording the hearts of the men of this world. But there is one Lord who is above all lords. And this makes him supreme and one of great honor. Some men think that being great consists of having great honor, power, and possessions. But there is none other as honorable, powerful, and rich as God himself. And for us to be great, we actually need to become pretty small, the scriptures tell us. But God is so infinitely above all other gods and deities, and yet some men choose to worship other gods. Why would we choose to worship other gods when there is a God above all gods? For some reason, we as humans do that sometimes. Many, in fact, do that. And we know the history of the children of Israel and how they fell into idol worship. And I think this is one of the things God wanted them to realize. And that was to recognize that God was the only true God. He was God above all gods. He was Lord above all lords. Mentions here that he is mighty and terrible. He has power to conquer. And so those who actually resist him and rebel against him actually end up fearing him greatly because they are out of step with him. They're going against him. But this attribute of God, of him being mighty and terrible, can drive us to a godly fear. And we'll look at that more later. God is a judge, a powerful judge. It says that he regardeth not persons, which I believe is referring to him being impartial in his justice. It is very honorable for a judge to be impartial, and God is that. He is just. He has great possessions. Down in verse 14, it says, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is." Creator of all, therefore owner of all. The creator and owner of a product knows everything about his product because he created it. He knows what it's made to do. He knows what it can and will do if the proper steps and the precautions are taken. This may be a poor example, but if I buy an automotive diagnostic tool, many times those diagnostic tools have so many capabilities that we don't use near everything that is there. But if I buy one of those and have no directions and no one knows anything about it, very likely I will not use it to its full capacity. God knows how to make us into a being that can perform to its fullest because he knows our makeup. He knows what we were created to do. And he can do that because he is God and because he created us. He knows us. He knows what we were created to do. So why would we choose to serve gods who would cause us to perform less than what we were created for? This year, it's very likely that at some point we will face temptation to put our allegiance on something other than God. We can so easily allow the love of things or the love of the flesh to push God out of our lives. How will it be for us in 2018? Do I believe that God is a God above all gods and that I am going to give him my allegiance? Israel's downfall was when they turned from the true God to idols. And it will be a downfall for us in our Christian life, in our journey this year, if we choose to give in to the gods of this world. This point is foundational to the rest of the message. We must recognize God for who he is. Number two, what doth the Lord require of thee? Fear him with godly fear. And we see this in verse 12. The children of Israel were about to enter the promised land. And I believe God longed for his people to get back into Canaan. But I believe he had a greater longing to have a relationship with his people. And we see his heart here as he talks with them. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? This is a fear that draws us to God, not away from God. It is a safe net. We need to pay him reverence. When we reverence God, we are very careful to please him and not to do anything to offend him. This type of reverence comes out of a heart of love and devotion. It comes out of a heart that has been changed and is now being led by the Spirit of Christ. We will respect God's will, not my own will. We will joyfully serve Him. We want Him to be glorified by our lives. Him to be lifted up, not us. Do we want a fulfilled life in 2018? Fear God. Psalm 34:9 says, O fear the Lord ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. No want. The fear of the Lord is a path of safety and comfort. It takes care of the battle with our flesh. No, God does not promise luxuries, but He does promise to take care of those who love Him and fear Him. Fearing God will give us what we really deep down in desire, because there's a relationship with the Almighty God, and there's fulfillment in that. Turn with me to Jeremiah 32 for a couple of verses. Jeremiah 32, 39 and 40. Maybe we'll back up to verse 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. God wants to give us hearts that fear Him forever. Forever. A single heart after Him. Let's adore His majesty. Let's acknowledge His authority in our lives. Let's stand in awe of His power and dread His wrath. Revelation 14, 6 and 7 says, And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. What doth the Lord require of thee? Fear God. Give Him glory and worship Him for who He is. Number three, love Him. This is another requirement listed in verse 12. This love is so intertwined with godly fear that we cannot separate it. God specifically mentions it here, so I believe He puts a premium on it. There are many things we can set our affection on, but our God is a jealous God. He desires our affection. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. To love God is to have been born of God. We know love because God Himself is love, and He first loved us. Love brings us into a relationship with Him that will cause us to know Him better. And I hope it will be that way for us in 2018. That a growing love will cause us to get to know Christ better and his heart for us as his people. Turn with me to Mark 12, 28 to 33. Mark 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. That is exactly what God wants from us. Love, a love that is with our whole being. It will surpass those burnt offerings and sacrifices that we talked about this morning. As we think about our lives, where is our affection? Can it be said of us that we love God with all of our heart? That means that without question, there is nothing else in my heart, that in my life, that I love better than Christ himself. Can we say that this morning? With all my soul, with all my mind, those things I think about often, does it reveal something about my affections, where they are? With all my strength. You know, we put a lot of energy into things we enjoy. How much energy am I putting forth to deepen my love for Christ? It says, with all my strength. Do we know what that's like? To actually love Christ with all of our strength. That means my life will need to be wrapped up in this pursuit to love God. Love brings all the powers of our soul into inner harmony. When our affections are in the right place and we love God with all of our heart and our brother as ourselves, we will have an inner peace. There will be an inner harmony because we are doing what we have been created for takes care of a lot of problems. Love produces inward and outward obedience. Love produces a strong desire after God. We know David as being a man after God's own heart. And I believe that means he loved God. He loved what God loved. He hated what God hated. And that was his pursuit. And we know that David was not a perfect man. We know that he had failures. But somehow, God still knew him as a man after his own heart. He was passionate about his walk with God. And you read the Psalms, you get his heart throb. Also, love finds God in everything. Have you ever experienced this in your life? If you're experiencing a close walk with God, we think about him more. Therefore, we tend to see God more in the circumstances of life. We see God more in creation because we're walking with him and we're experiencing closeness. Love is the motivation of our soul, controlling our hands, feet, eyes, mouth, mind, and life. Our love, our affection controls our whole being. The children of Israel had times when their affections were taken from God. Sometimes they loved what their neighbors had, and it took them down a long road. And unfortunately, in 2018, we will face some of the same threats they faced. I want to draw our attention back to our passage in Deuteronomy 10. In verse 16, it says here, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked." Unless we experience this circumcision of the heart, we will not be able to love God as we ought. Our hearts must be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Is there anything in my life that is hindering my relationship with God? If we are going to find victory in 2018, we need to be clear we need to clear ourselves of sin and allow Christ to fill that space in our hearts. He needs all of us. He wants all of us, not just some of us. Number four, walk in all his ways. We are constantly walking on a spiritual journey in this life, and we are influenced so easily as to how we walk and to where we walk. Our flesh can influence us, and so can the world and our friends. Sometimes we find ourselves walking according to our fleshly lusts or making choices that go against Bible principle, and we come up to a crossroad and we need to decide, okay, where am I going in life? We realize, we begin to see that there are two roads. One will lead to death and the other one will lead to life. There is a power, a God, a friend, a Savior that is calling for our allegiance. And brothers and sisters, this morning, we cannot walk down both roads. If you come to a Y in the road, there's just no way to go down both roads. We are going on one road or the other road. And Matthew speaks of these two ways, or in Matthew, Christ's words, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I want to be one of those few that find that road, that walk that road. There is a broad way and a narrow way. And God knows the tendency of fallen man. He knew the weaknesses of the children of Israel. And I think that's one of the reasons why he speaks to them in this way here. He was longing for them to be his special people who would obey him and love him and fear him and walk in his ways, and not depart from him and go down another road. Notice that it says in verse 12, he requires us to walk in all his ways. All his ways. An average adult makes approximately 35,000 conscious decisions each day. 35,000. It just blows my mind. Some of those, of course, have no influence on us spiritually. Maybe it's just what kind of cereal you choose to eat at breakfast time. But I wonder how many of those decisions actually do affect us. on our spiritual journey. The things I choose to look at throughout the day. The things I read, whether it's a billboard or something in the checkout line. Just little catchy phrases. How much are they affecting where I'm going? The things I listen to. My associates. We're influenced by others in the workplace. It's sobering to think about how many choices I make in a day's time and how many of them affect my eternal destiny. Am I walking in all the ways of the Lord? It's a question I want us to think about this morning. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." Blessings are pronounced upon those who walk in God's ways. It's a way of life. It's a way to life, I should say. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Titus 2, 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." God, through his Son Jesus, so graciously made a way for us to be saved. The grace of God brought salvation. If we want salvation, then we will need to deny ungodliness and the worldly lusts, those ways of the world, and choose to walk in all God's ways. In 2018, I encourage us to be a people who will choose to conform to God's holy will. And we have it right here in this book. Number 5. What doth the Lord require of thee? Serve him with all our being. It's hard to separate some of these things in verse 12. They're so intertwined. Service is love in action. I think this can speak of our worship. I think we all share a common struggle when it comes to our personal worship time and constantly feel room for growth. Does our worship on a daily basis reveal what my relationship with Christ is like presently? Do I put a premium on spending time with God and His Word? Is it changing my life? Worship needs to become a way of life for us, not just a 30-minute ritual every day. I think that came out in our Sunday school lesson. What are we putting into our time of worship for our Lord and Savior? God wants us to serve Him with all of our heart and soul. I think this service can also speak of just our Christian service to others. We know that works won't save us, but if there is love and faith, there will also be works. And we are to be the little Christ here in this world. Our goal is to point others to Christ. And we do that by the lives we live. We serve others because we love Christ, and it's a selfless service. And in 2018, if the Lord tarries, we will have lots of opportunities to serve and show Christ to others. As Christ becomes a greater part of our hearts, I think we will naturally respond with selfless love. This service is the outward working of one who recognizes God for who he is. And he fears him, he loves him, and he walks in all his ways. Number 6, what doth the Lord require of thee? Reflect on his faithfulness and work on our behalf. I would like to go down through some of these verses in chapters 11 and 12, 11, or 10 and 11, and point out some things that God did for the children of Israel. Starting in verse 10, or chapter 10 and verse 15, God loved them and chose them to be his special people. Verse 18, he cared for them in their deepest needs. Verse 22, he multiplied their offspring. It says that they only went down into Egypt with just very few people. But they came out into the promised land with a multitude. Speaks of God's faithfulness. And God promised to Abraham back in Genesis 15:5 this very thing. And it came true. It's a sign of God's faithfulness to them. Chapter 11 and verse 3 speaks about his miracles. That which he did when they were in bondage in Egypt. Verse 4, he saved them from the Egyptians, the army that was pursuing them and wanted to kill them. Verse 6, he dealt with sin in the camp. The earth swallowed up Dathan and Abiram. In verse 2, it mentions that he was not talking to the children who knew not these things, but in verse 7, to those who had seen all these great acts of the Lord. We see there was a time of reflection here on God's faithfulness to them as a nation. God had done mighty acts for them, and he didn't want them to forget. We can find strength in reflection of God's past faithfulness to us, and I encourage us to reflect over the past and see how God has led us, all that he has done for us. Think about how faithful he was to us, is to us. And I believe it will give us strength and courage to face the new year ahead. Verse 21 of chapter 10 says, he is thy praise and he is thy God that has done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. In our reflection of God's faithfulness to us, let's praise him for what he has done. Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You know, if we don't reflect, we will never think about God's faithfulness. And here the psalmist says he is going to make known God's faithfulness to all generations. And so for us to be able to do that, we need to reflect about God's faithfulness to us so that we can tell our children and pass on the faith. Let's never cease praising him. As we reflect on God's past faithfulness to us, we can, lastly, number 7, trust his sovereign hand in the hills and valleys of 2018. I like verses 10 through 12 of chapter 11, and I would like to read them again. It says, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Verse 10 points out that they came from a land that they needed to water. But in verse 11 he says, you're going to a land of hills and valleys, which will drink in the reign of heaven. We sometimes refer to the land of Canaan as a picture of heaven. I think it's actually more a picture of the life of the Christian here on earth. The Christian life is a life of hills and valleys. We will face them in 2018 and as long as we are here on earth. But there are blessings for those who are in Canaan. God says that the rain of heaven will water the crops. This is a picture of God's blessings and provisions for those who follow him. Verse 12 says that he cares for the land. He cares for all those who are walking with him. It says his eyes are always upon the land from the beginning of the year unto the end of the year. God's eye of blessing will be upon us this year from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year, if we follow him faithfully. And I'm not saying that we will have a smooth road. In Canaan, there were hills and valleys. And there are hills and valleys in the Christian life. There will be hills and valleys in 2018. But I believe God will provide for all of our needs this year if we follow him faithfully. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. God is sovereign, and I'm thankful he is. He knows exactly what we'll face in the coming year, and he also knows what he'll do to help us through it. Let's trust his sovereign hand as we move forward in life. What doth the Lord require of thee? We looked at a number of things this morning, and I'm sure that there are many more. But I hope that we have hearts that want to serve him in 2018. Let's faithfully fight the battles that come our way this year. Remember the covenant. Remember, God will keep his covenant. The question is, will we? And if we keep that covenant, our end of the deal, then 2018 will be a wonderful year. Let's kneel for prayer.